Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. You're listening to WYLL AM 580. To keep up with Illinois public media news throughout the day, be sure to visit us on our website, wyll.illinois.edu. Now with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you, Chris, and good Thursday morning, everyone. China's inflation rose slightly in April. Consumer prices rose 2.4% over a year earlier, up from March's 2.1% gain. April's price rise was driven by a 4% gain in food costs, up from March's 2.7% rate. Meanwhile, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization today says that world food prices rose 1% in April, driven by a sharp rise in dairy prices, with levels now only 9% below their peak reached in February of 2011. The FAO's dairy price index averaged 258.8 points in April, a sharp rise of nearly 15% on March's level. The UN attributed the price surge seen in the past few months to a steep decline in New Zealand's milk production. The FAO cereal price index fell 4.1% from March, with most of the declines in April triggered by weaker corn prices. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending May 2nd. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year 8.8, next year 8.3. Corn this year 4.6, next year 6.7. And soybeans this year 7.1 and next year 14.4. Meanwhile, private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 110,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. That year will begin on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,100, down 4 points. The NASDAQ at 3410 is down 2.5, and the S&P 500 is 1631. It is down 1.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Showers and thunderstorms will move back across the Midwest here today and Friday, limiting field work once again. The majority of the Midwest, though, will be on the edge of a new weather pattern that will likely bring us a better opportunity for some field work to occur across the region in a more aggressive manner. First, though, the rain that occurs today and tomorrow will likely be greatest from portions of eastern Iowa and northern Missouri into Michigan. Some of this region will see half-inch to 1.5-inch amounts, maybe even some locally greater amounts in some cases, and the precipitation will once again saturate the soil, in fact maintain saturated conditions in some cases, and limit the amount of field work that will likely occur. As we move on out, though, into Saturday, we'll likely see drier conditions occurring across the Midwest. There will be quite a cool shot of air coming through the region, and its leading edge will likely bring a few more showers to the Midwest from northwest to southeast from late Friday into Saturday. Most of the precipitation with that frontal boundary, though, will be minimal, running a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 15 hundredths of an inch in most cases. Well, once the cold air is in place, we'll have a risk of frost and freeze conditions occurring Sunday and Monday mornings, and the odds are very good that we'll likely see temperatures down into the 30s throughout all of the Midwest, and some upper 20s will occur in northern areas. There is potential, though, some crop damage will take place, but mostly to leaf mass in both the wheat and also the corn crops. And there'll be some other crops that may be negatively impacted as well. But because planting is so far behind, emergence on corn is way behind as well, and so the potential for crop damage is still kept relatively low. Plus, the growing point of the early crop is probably still below the surface in most cases, and the temperatures will not be cold enough for permanent yield-reducing losses. Now, once we're through with the cold air on Monday, we will see a nice warming trend take place, and most of next week will likely be warmer. We'll expect the temperatures to get above average, especially in the western Corn Belt, and back to near normal in the east. Those temperatures, though, will stay in a relatively warm mode on into the end of this two-week forecast, which takes us out to about the 23rd or so of May. That could be very helpful between rain events by accelerating the evaporation rates and giving us an opportunity for at least a little better field working conditions as time moves forward. The temperatures out there this afternoon will still be relatively pleasant in most of the Midwest, but we will be seeing cooler conditions occurring beginning in the Northwest. This afternoon's highs will be in the upper 50s and 60s in the far Northwest. Everybody else will be in the 70s with a few lower 80s in the lower Ohio River Basin. We'll look for high temperatures on Friday afternoon, running mostly in the 60s and 70s, but there'll be a few 50s across the Great Lakes region. The temperatures on Saturday afternoon will most likely be in the 50s and 60s in the north and 60s and lower 70s in the south, and everybody will be in the 50s and 60s as we get into Sunday afternoon. We'll look for the temperatures to begin rebounding after that, and by the time we get to midweek next week, we'll probably be seeing 70 and 80 degree temperatures common across the majority of the Midwest. Our low temperatures at night are expected to be turning quite chilly as we move into the late weekend, but tomorrow morning the lows temperatures will likely be in the 30s and 40s in the northwestern areas and 50s and lower 60s in other locations. As we move on into the end of the weekend, though, those 30s will become more common across the Midwest, with some 20s across the north from the Dakotas over to Michigan, maybe reaching down to a few random locations in northern Illinois and maybe the northernmost part of Indiana. We'll expect those low temperatures to begin abating into a warmer mode as we get into the first part of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here are how futures are currently trading in Kansas City. July wheat, 764 and a half, up four. May wheat in Chicago, $7 and a half, up 3 3/4. July, 713 and a half, up 7 1/2. May corn, 680 and a half, up 5 1/2. July, 635, now 635 and 636 and a half, up 3 1/2, moving quickly. December at 534 and a half, up 2 1/2. May beans, 1498. Up 19. July 1404 and a quarter, up 14 and a half. And November at 1216 and a half, up 2 1/4. May soybean meal, 431, up 570. July 409, up 230. July soybean oil at 4930, up 48. June live cattle, 120.37 and a half, up 17 and a half. May feeders, 135.70, up 10. And May lean hogs at 92, up 2 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
We're the day before the day.
We are the day before the day, and I think it's going to be interesting to see if we can continue to see this heavy bull spreading, because the talk in the trade is that the carryout for 2013 crop on corn is going to be large, and on beans going to be about double what it is this year.
So everybody's been bull spreading like crazy, and that has brought the nearby soybean contracts to levels we haven't seen in a while.
Right, and we're bouncing right up awfully close to $15, and it'll be interesting to see whether today's July bean move up over $14 can catch, because yesterday when we saw it go to $14.04, it sold off pretty easily.
And then we had export sales also today, and if you look at corn, this is not even a number that will get us to the modest USDA end-of-the-year projection.
No, I thought the numbers looked pretty darn negative on really for everything, but especially on the corn and the wheat, certainly winding down this particular crop year. But I thought the corn was extremely disappointing, both on the old and the new crop.
Do you think tomorrow in the WASDE report that USDA, given the strong basis we continue to see in the countryside, will do anything with the 2012-13 carryout?
12-13, probably not very many changes there. Perhaps a little bit lower in the bean if we increase exports as we should on the 12 crop soybeans. The only thing is they may increase The imports, there was talk again yesterday that Brazilian soybeans are making their way into the U.S.
There's also talk that corn is making its way into the U.S.
Yeah, we've been hearing that it's coming into the southeast, and that's been kind of an ongoing point of discussion. It's been my feeling that the imports of corn will exceed 200 million bushel for the 12 crop, but I'm not sure if that'll come out on this report.
A word about the livestock before we let you go.
Man, we've got this red-hot basis going on in cattle. I haven't seen a $6 over basis for an awfully long time on the cattle. Sharp gains in the cutouts. And Packers really aggressive on the hogs. I would think it would be supportive on futures, but it hasn't been. It's just been supportive on basis.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. Your current tick, May corn, 680.5, up 5.5, July, 636, up 3, and December at 534.25, up 2.25. May soybeans, 1496.75, up 17.75, July, 1404.5, up 13.75, and November at 1217, up 2.75. July soybean meal, 409.80, up 220, and July soybean oil at 49.30, up 48. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.